Hello, this is Orville Radio. I'm Ren.
And I'm Maya. Welcome to Deepnum's monthly podcast, Teens Connect, Episode 5. We hope you enjoyed the previous ones.
So let's begin. Our guest today is Narayan. Welcome. Please tell us about yourself and background.
Okay. Thank you. Myself and background. So, I by origin I'm Israeli. I left Israel when I was 7. We came to Orville. We stayed in Sadana Forest for 2 months. Then we left because it was too hippie. We spent a year driving across India. And then another 9 months in Australia. And we globe hopped a bit more. By the time I was 9 and a half, and I'd been homeschooled my whole life. And my parents were like, we need to put this kid in school. So they put me in, so they took me to Deepnum, which is my first school. I was very annoyed. And then I spent 2 years in Deepnum, a year in TLC, and then they TLC'd to my class at last school. Much last school's annoyance. And it was like, it was me and 8 girls. And then it was last school, it was 4 people at that point. We were a class of 8. We were the majority of last school. And then I spent 7 years in last school. Long time, yeah.
Yeah.
After that, I finished kind of last school. I got hired by Kripa, the light and sound designer.
Yeah.
I did Kripa for 2 years, then COVID came. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of, light and sound was not a very required job. Then I did a couple of shows in COVID. I was working with my sister's band, Candy Box. After that, I was in YC for a year, living in a treehouse, which was fun. And then Kojimba now, the last year. I mean, 2 years.
Oh, last year.
I mean, it's been 2.5 years since I started, but I started since I was in YC.
How did, what was your biggest inspiration for making Kojimba?
COVID.
COVID?
Yeah, the alcohol bans.
Oh. Biggest?
Huh?
Okay.
I mean, yeah, basically, Kojimba is based, it's a modified traditional beer recipe fundamentally. So basically, you take ginger beer and take out the alcohol and reduce the alcohol, and you get Kojimba.
Reduce the alcohol, so there's still a bit in your drinks.
Not really.
No.
So it's below anything you can test for.
Oh, okay.
So it's not like there's ethanol. But it's because we ferment like alcohol. You ferment for about like 20 times as much yeast, and you ferment for 3 times as long. We ferment for a very short period of time. So we get just the fizz and none of the other, none of the ethanol.
Mm. How did you produce it? Or like, where did you make it?
In the beginning, why YC? Yeah. In the kitchen.
The kitchen?
Yeah. Yeah, so in that, we started in YC kitchen. I had, because I was, so do you know the museum?
Mm-hmm.
So the museum was where we fermented and I kept the cups and the containers. And then we would wash the bottles in the old, you know, the down area. The washing area, we washed the bottles there, and then bottle on the counter using cups and ladles. Mm-hmm. That was about a year of the whole thing. We made it was, so it started with Zheng Hao. You know Zheng Hao or no?
No, I don't think so.
He was 21 now, I think. He's in the Netherlands. He left for uni. Ah. So we started together. He was a very entrepreneurial kid. Still is. And then just started manufacturing. And, you know, you're like, we make cans. I mean, the first time, it took us 3 months of just figuring out what we want to do. Then we made two cans, we bottled them, and we took crate and went to all the restaurants. We're like, do you want some Kojimba? We had shitty labels, no food license, no company.
Hmm.
And we just went and we're like, do you want some drinks? Luckily, 2 people said yes.
Ooh.
And for a year, we sold just to these 2 people. Like,
How did you expand it past that?
So, after about a year, a bit over a year. The thing is, the first step is you have to figure out what are you doing and how you're making it and know that. Once you know that by heart, it's easy. Scaling is just, you know, you copy-paste. Right? If you know to do something, I can teach it to someone else.
Yeah.
But until you know how to do it, it's very hard to scale. So after I've done a year, I'd known, you know, I know how to wash bottles, how to fill. You've fought with every problem. And then you can just hire people. So I got, first to be, I got with Milo and Adele. I don't know, it's a little bit older for you. So they joined me as two partners, and we started, you know, we started scaling, and we slowly scaled from, in the last year, we went from about 200 to 2,000 bottles a month.
Oh, ooh. Wow.
But it's, and from what, three people, or like 17, 18?
Damn.
Just like, but the thing is, once you have people, and they know when you find really good people, it's easy. Because also, it's, a lot of what I do is that they teach each other. Oh, it just like goes, whoop, just add.
Yeah.
You mentioned Deepanam, no? That you went there. Did it affect you in any way, and how?
So the first school I went to, how it's...
It didn't really?
I don't know. I mean, I was very, very young. It's, and I was 9, and I think I left when I was 11. Like, I can't say I remember that much of that period of my life. It was fun. I mean, as a first school, it's fun. And definitely more sane than TLC. Mostly last school is the school. I mean, I spent 7 years in, which is really...
Yeah, 7 years. what was your, like, biggest problem that you had to, like, overcome with Kajimba?
Problems are part of running a business.
Yeah.
It's an endless list of problems.
I mean, what were the problems?
What were... bottles exploding.
Really?
Whoa. Everything. You could, do you know if you put syrup and sugar, I mean sugar and water in a bottle, it can and you cup it, it can explode?
No. How?
So apparently, because you get wild yeast inside the sugar and water, leave it for about 2 weeks outside, if it's airtight, and just go boom.
Oof.
So that was fun.
How'd you solve that?
Software, short shelf lives, aggressive pickups. Now we have more tricks to solve.
Hmm.
Changed all endless. It's solutions and then solutions to solutions and you know, solutions to solutions to solutions.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so many. If in Orville, there's no lack of problems starting a business, and there's even more problems when you're in Orville. Because you have to understand how to run companies here, which is not a sane system.
Hmm.
You said you traveled with your family. Hmm. What was your favorite place you've been to?
Philippines is beautiful.
Philippines. Yeah.
Really good, really nice beaches, nice people. Still, I don't remember much of. In Europe, of course, is beautiful nature, but cold.
Cold, yeah.
Was your family supportive of your business?
Yeah. I mean, very much so. My father is also helping me fund it, because running business is unbelievably expensive. Like, that's something I've really been learning is, you know, that, like, 100,000 rupees is a lot of money until you go to a business, and then it's nothing. You know, it just goes. It's, yeah, my parents are very supportive. I'm also lucky I'm not, my grandfather also did. So I'm not the first person in my family to be doing business. It's not that crazy.
Okay.
Was it, we heard that you were doing fire juggling, no?
Yeah.
How was it?
Well, that was very, very good.
Wow.
That taught me a lot. Fire juggling, it was 10 egoistical kids.
Oh.
It was very good. It was before Orvan, she was so patient with us.
Hmm.
Like, we would swear, like, every fifth row was a swear. Like, chapels were thrown, it was very fun. It taught me a lot about, you know, getting things done. Because when you have 10 egoistic people, you have to get something done. It's all about negotiating.
Yeah.
So it was very good school at how to negotiate with people and get people to move forward. It was so much fun.
You also taught children, no? Was it nice?
For fire juggling.
Mm.
I suck at teaching. I'm a horrible teacher because... I was very mean to them. I'm not the most patient person. I find it, with Kajimba, it's much easier for me, because it's working together, getting stuff done. When it comes to teaching and explaining things, I'm not very good at it. I'm more of, you know, just figure it out.
Yeah.
When you finished teaching, did you meet the kids afterwards?
Then out of school?
Yeah, like, a few years later.
I still meet them now. I mean,
oh.
Half my class from juggling, I just had into Kajimba.
Oh!
Claire was with me in juggling. She was on our Instagram for a while. Then we had Claire, Zara, was in juggling in Kajimba, Sama. Many, it's just like, because it's anyway, the thing is, I the generation I really liked from before, when they were much younger, and I liked them juggling, and I still like them now. Hmm. So it's still, it's over now. You can't not meet people.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
you know, you have class with them, and you meet them out at the supermarket or in the nights.
What is your marketing process?
It's a fun one. How do you market? So most, our core is peer-to-peer. If you make a product people love, they'll sell your product for you. Right? The thing is, if you actually have to sell your product, it's very expensive. In the sense of, you know, because you can go with a modern one, just Instagram ads, Facebook ads. Mm. That's a cash sink.
Yeah.
So we have small amount on Instagram, but I don't think the sales are that significant. But mostly it's people who sell, and then we work with restaurants. So they sell our products for us. And it's because everyone loves the product. That, like, you know, if you see novel people, friends recommend the Kojima to other people, it makes it very easy, because we don't have to go sell. People just sell, you know, just make beautiful products which people love, and then just sell it to each other, and you're never really marketing it. And you do a bit of it just to help, but the heavy lifting is done by the people who love your product and not by you.
Have you ever had any problems with the people?
Customers.
Or like customers, or like people you're selling to?
Oh, endless. It's firefighting. Running a business is all about firefighting.
Yeah.
They don't keep the bottles in the fridge. And they're like, why did our bottles explode? And you're like, you left them in 40 degrees. What did you expect? Then, you know, they have so many. They have this question. They have endless questions, endless issues. You know, it's all about fixing problems and just keeping people, everyone happy around you. You know, it's about negotiating with everyone for a, you know, it's okay. We'll get to this. It's fine.
Hmm. What was your highest point in your business?
Highest point? Ask me that in like 3 years.
In 3 years, yeah.
Or longer. I mean, it's fine, but we're still very young. I mean, I love seeing that it's, you know, now. So now there's logistics, right? Bottles are being sent out right now. Last year, I would have had to drive them on a bike. You know, you go on a bike, you put a crate in front, and you drive.
Yeah.
Now there's a team of 3-4 people preparing crates, and they're going to be going on a small Vandy, and that Vandy goes out.
Mm.
It's amazing, you know, how it just, like, grows.
Yeah. Mm.
Do you have any plans in the future for your business?
Yeah, of course. I mean, I had plans from day one. You shouldn't start a business unless you have a plan.
Yeah, true.
But do you plan to add something, or do you plan to keep it as it is?
As in products? Or
yeah.
Of course. Mm. We have coffee that's in development. It's been a long mission. Oat milk I make.
Ooh.
I mean, it's been another 7 months, 8 months I've been at it. Oat milk's unbelievably difficult to make well.
Really?
Because it gelatinizes.
Ah.
So, you know, if you boil oats, it becomes porridge.
Yeah.
And milk is kind of useless if you can't boil it.
So you need to get the in-between?
No, you basically put enzymes. Oh, wow. Use enzymes to break the oats down. And it's all kind of processing. You have to put enzymes. And it's like a 5-hour process now. Which you just... to get it not slimy, you can boil it now. It stays nice.
Yeah.
Fun. Then granola I want to do.
Oh, granola.
Yeah, I really like granola. iced tea, of course.
Oh,
I love iced tea.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not. If I was satisfied being where I was, I would not be growing, you know.
Yeah.
Do you get suggestions from other people or customers, or do you just,
of course,
make up everything?
No.
Make up.
So I'm a big believer of data-driven business, so it's all about numbers. I love computers and statistics. Right? You see. People come, they give me suggestions, I improve. Right? And also beyond that, you can look at the sales data and what people like. You know, if where you're getting your most, like Hibiscus, for example, is the best seller.
Mm.
And Nanari is the worst seller. So I don't, you know, I know statistically people like Hibiscus and like Nanari. And then, you know, it's all about talking to your customers, because they buy your product. If you talk to them and they give you feedback and you improve it, your product is going to get better. If you just, you know, YOLO... You know, YOLO, and you don't listen to your customers, you won't last very long.
Because
they will feel unheard, right? And you tell your customers are people too.
Yeah.
Right? It's all about, what I find fascinating about businesses and the world we're in, it's all about humans, right? Someone made this, someone made this.
Mm.
Someone made this cable, someone made everything here. It's not, and you know, and analogous, you know, a non-human company entity. It doesn't actually, it's not people, it's all people.
Yeah.
So if, you know, we talk to them and interact, it all gets better and goes together.
What's the favorite part of your job?
Favorite part? So the way I look at my job is to be jobless.
Oh.
Yeah, because the thing is, when I'm jobless, I can do new things. Hmm. But like, for example, with the crates, right? Now, before, I would have to go prepare the crates. Now I don't. I'm jobless.
Yeah.
So I can come do this.
Ah.
That's the thing. So for me, I always try to be jobless. And my favorite part of things is when I see things just happening without me, like magic. That's by far my favorite part.
So you don't make the drinks anymore. So do you control the people or like tell the people what to do, or do you just sit back and watch it happen?
Neither. I trained Adele and Milo. So I trained one generation. Then they trained another generation, and now the next generation turned a new generation. We're on the fourth generation of people making drinks.
Ooh.
It's the thing is, if I have to go train them or tell them what to do, I am terrible at that. I like innovating. I like experimenting and doing dumb shit. My joy in life is when I do something that is ridiculous. That's when I get joy. It's if I have to go tell people, you know, do this, do that, that's a lot of effort, and I'm very stressful. It's not a good thing. I prefer that people tell each other, and I don't even have to go there, and I know it's just going to happen, I can trust.
Hmm. How did you come up with the idea? Like, we asked a similar question before, but how did you suddenly wake up and decide that, oh my god, I need to make a new version of kombucha or something?
It's never like you wake up, right? So there was no alcohol. So first thing you need is to make alcohol, right? It's that simple. I mean, we're in Oroville, and you know, we have a problem. We invent a solution.
Yeah.
We're mostly self-sufficient. This is part of the game. So I started making that, and then from there it's very easy because I already knew how to make. My friend Zhang was allergic to ethanol, so he can't drink alcohol, and he was looking for a non-alcoholic version. And then somehow we're just like, you know, so soft drinks are an amazing market. It's one of the biggest global markets on the planet. And also they have great margins. So if you look at restaurants, the best margins is drinks. That's the easiest to make, and it's the best margin. That's in specific why I picked soft drinks as a business, apart from the fact that I was already making something similar and I could just convert it. Mm-hmm. Does that answer your question? Or not really? But it's, you never wake up. It's like, it took 3 months of just doing work without seeing a single bottle. Actually, there's a great picture of the first Kojima bottle.
Oh.
It's like a plastic bottle this big.
Ah.
Django and I bought 100 bottles for 2 rupees each. Some shitty pet bottles, like really bad pet bottles. It's like this big. And it's a picture of that on my terrace. That was the first Kojima bottle ever made.
Mm.
You know, it's not like you wake up and you see. It's a journey. It's a very, very, very long journey, which takes a lot of patience, right? And you're just doing, and you never know why you're doing. You know, just do, and you keep putting one foot in front of the other, and eventually something comes up. Not what you imagined will be there, but something better or different.
Do you have specific offices around Oroville where you do your job?
Yeah, so we have Creativity Kitchen, which is where we manufacture, because after YC got destroyed, so we had to find a new kitchen. So we are now in their kitchen, they're very nice. So we have the outside as an office, and La Terrasse.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's our office.
Oh.
Why doesn't La Terrasse sell your products then?
Because La Terrasse is fully in-house, so La Terrasse does not buy products from outside.
Ah.
But it's honest. Oroville, we are already very present. Like, I think almost anywhere you go in Oroville, you see our products. We are saturated. Now we're in Pondy, we have to close off Pondy, and then it's Chennai.
Oh, really? Where are all the places you sell your drinks?
We have, I think, like 35 locations.
Oh,
wow.
We have, of course, Portus PTPS, Gasto Tanto. I mean, most of all, we'll Pondy with Café des Arts, Chez Artisan, Coromandel. The thing is, interestingly, soft drinks. High-end restaurants need soft drinks, which is something which I never realized when I started. Because it's hard for them to make liquids.
Hmm.
So if you look at restaurants, they sell like lemon soda for $190.
Yeah.
You know, because they put soda, they put lemon. It's very hard to make drinks, actually, because their kitchens aren't optimized for liquids. So in a way, it kind of, it fit by accident. I stumbled on something that actually makes sense.
Yeah.
Do you plan in the future to like expand your product locations? Like, do you plan to send it abroad?
So international will be a mission. Yeah. First is India, right? India by itself is 1.4 billion people. You can mint many times the entire turnover of Orville on India. Like, Orville turns out about 340 CR, you can do 10x that easily.
Yeah.
I mean, India is a massive market. Abroad is difficult because they're much more saturated. But maybe one day Europe.
One day.
What was the most memorable part of starting a business?
Has to be YC. You know, carrying a can for like 50 meters every time. You know, just washing bottles. And then like bottling them with like ladles and cups. You know, you take a cup into the thing and you just put it in the bottle.
Yeah.
That was really fun. Was a much worse product back then also. Oh my god. Like the early Kojimba. You've seen like the label with the stripes or no?
Mm.
Yeah.
Like the square. Like the round one, no? That one, yeah. Oh my god, it was such a shitty product. we used to use Pizza East.
Oh, really?
Because yeah, I was in YC. There was East. It's baking East. Yeah, true. Baking East.
And did you hire new designers or are you going to stick with the old ones?
No. Oh my god, my designers left. My designers quit religiously.
Religiously?
Yeah. Like my. So I was my first designer, Isaac. Terrible designer. Then I had Milo designed. That's the label we're running with now. Now if you want to, with the next gen of flavors, actually, let's see what you think.
How did Orville, like if you were not living in Orville, what would you be doing?
Most likely software. I love software. It's very peaceful. Humans are very not peaceful.
How has Orville helped you?
How has Orville helped me? I have a lot of annoyance with Orville. For the one simple fact that, you know, it's, we have sitting on so much wealth and doing so little with it.
Yeah.
Like, bond-wise, Orville is an amazing bond. You go to Chennai, people know exactly who we are. And they're like, oh, wow, you're from Orville, that's a good quality. But it's, so I'm very much connected to, of course, the ideas of modern Shri Aurobindo. As in, that is something which is very close, dear and close to me. I think the ideals and the energies of Orville are beautiful. I am not so fond of what we have done with it.
Yeah. What are you doing?
I thought he was going to ask us a question, but he was yawning.
Should I? Do you like Orville?
Oh, we're getting asked now. I'm also, I'm neutral for Orville. I really like it. I mean, I was not born here, but I was raised here. So, yeah. I mean, I'm still kind of young to like know much about it. So I don't really have much of an opinion.
You?
I mean, now that I'm attached to it, I like it. But if I would just be here for a month or something, I would prefer to go back to my country.
I think it's for growing up and it's beautiful.
Yeah.
Except, I mean, at 16, 17, you get very bored. But otherwise, it's a beautiful place to grow up and the schools are very interesting.
Interesting.
But you don't get graded and everyone's actually nice.
When you aren't not competing with anyone, no?
No.
You can compete on grades, but they're meaningless.
Do you have any messages to, future entrepreneurs?
In Orville?
Yeah.
Meditate. Good luck.
Meditate.
Yeah, good luck. Yeah. No. I think it's doable. The fact that we think you can do things in Orville is not wrong. It's wrong. You can do. It's just a matter of understanding that the system is nonsense and everyone's playing around with the system. Just do the same.
Are you going to leave Orville? Or are you going to stay here for a while?
Good question, I have no idea. That is to be seen.
Yeah. Well, thank you for being here, and
thank you for listening to our podcast.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening.
We'll see you guys later.
Ciao, ciao.
Bye-bye.
This is Auroville Radio, voices from the city of Dome.